Good afternoon, and on behalf of the consistory here, the leaders of this congregation, I'd like to extend a welcome to this afternoon worship service. This welcome also comes from God. We'll get to the greeting in a moment, but let's rise for the call to worship. The Lord calls us to worship Him, and it's these words in Revelation 1, which are a call to give God the glory. That's what worship is. Hear this: to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His blood and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We confess that we depend on God to worship Him and to give Him the glory. So let's say this together in our hearts. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Let's now humble ourselves as part of our confession of trust. Let's humble ourselves before God in silent prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we humble ourselves before You because we're reminded that we are children who are weak in ourselves. We've just been singing about You as conqueror, as Jesus Christ as the conqueror. And in Him we have our victory. In Him we have our strength. So we ask, Heavenly Father, that You would continue to lead us in where our true strength lies, in You. Lord, we pray that You would bless us in this worship service. Give us whatever we need for our bodies, for attentiveness, for perseverance, to stay awake. Lord, also be with us in our souls, because You know how to work Your word where we need it the most. How You know exactly what words need to prick us, to wake us up, to alert us to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, to alert us to the needs of the people around us, but also to our own most pressing needs. Heavenly Father, be near us by Your Spirit. You who have inspired Your word, illumine our hearts and minds. Give us insight and wisdom. Give Your servant who brings Your word what he needs to not be a distraction, but to bring Your word clearly and boldly. Lord, lead us in Jesus Christ so that we would know Him more and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. In connection with the topic this afternoon, Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechisms has the topic of the forgiveness of our sins. I'd like to read from Psalm 51. The Pew Bible probably has that on page 637. So that's Psalm 51, page 637. I've got 652. No, I'm confusing myself here, so it's 637. Here we go. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, a contemplation. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night Your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to You, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and You forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you of upright heart. One more reading I'd like to add. We turn to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 6. Page 1117. Matthew chapter 6, 11:17. We'll just read a few verses there. Verse 7 to verse 15. Hear the word of the Lord. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Those are our readings. One more, the confessional reading. I should have begun with this. Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism. You have that on page 895 in the Psalter, in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Page 895 in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, and it's Lord's Day 51. What does the fifth petition mean? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors means, because of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. Forgive us just as we are fully determined, as evidence of your grace in us, wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. That's Lord's Day 51. The word of God that I'm bringing this afternoon is about the forgiveness of our sins, that I'd like to reread the passage in Matthew, praying the Lord's Prayer, and about forgiveness. Just these few verses from Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, first of all, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. After the sermon, we'll be singing Song of Response. It's number 213. Brothers and sisters, loved by Jesus Christ, our Lord, it's something that we can't take for granted. We shouldn't take for granted that our Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us to pray. We're being coached by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're being prompted, and the words are put in our mouth so that we would pray as he knows God hears. to be coached and prompted and urged to receive such a benefit as the forgiveness of our sins. It's amazing to be helped by God Himself so that we would get what we really need from God Himself. I recently moved to the U.S., and that was a year ago. One of the first things I had to do was get a social security number so that I can get credit, so that I can be counted as a human being in the United States. The Social Security Administration office handles those things, and I needed to have the benefits of Social Security. So I go to the office, and what is neat, what is quite surprising, is that the office had an administrative assistant ready for you to help you fill in the form for applying for a Social Security number. To be helped and coached for such benefits and have special people tasked with, here's how you get it. Brothers and sisters, I want you to notice that this morning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are equipping us. They have, in many respects, equipped us already, but God, as one, as three in one, is helping us to apply for this most basic need. Every day, many times in a day, we fold our hands and say, forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven those around us, their debts, our trespasses. So, brothers and sisters, I want to go through 3 points, and we'll look, first of all, the work of God the Father, so that we would get this benefit, the work of God the Son, so that we would get this benefit, and the work of God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is at work to get us to ask God the Father to forgive our sins. And the wording that Jesus Christ uses, you need to at least first encounter these words. He's speaking of what we owe God in terms of debts. Forgive us our debts. We have debtors, that's people who owe us, and we ought to be forgiving them. He also switches around for another word. Sometimes he'll say trespasses. Forgive us our trespasses, because that word has a lot to do with trespassing. You see a sign that says no trespassing, and we have gone out of bounds, right? This is territory we shouldn't be in, disobeying God, doing what's wrong. So we have debts to remind us in a financial way. If you know something about money, we can owe God. We haven't given Him what we need, what He deserves, what we owe Him. And then trespasses, we've gone on our own, adventured in territory that was dangerous and wrong. We haven't been in bounds where we ought to be in obedience. And then there's another word besides debt and trespasses. We have, you have the sins. It's quite obvious there. There's a third word. In Luke 11, this comes up when Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer. He says, forgive us our sins. And there's the ancient use of that language there to refer to missing the mark. If there's a bullseye, a target, and we were meant for the one thing, and the bullseye is God's glory and doing the right thing and avoiding anything wrong, there it is. You've sinned. You might have even meant well. How often don't you mean well and you miss the mark? Sin is what you've done, and you've missed God's mark. And I want to capture with these three words, at least make you aware that you have debt, you have trespasses, and you have sins. And we've basically covered all the territory, whether it's the things you have not done. God says you really should love your neighbor as yourself, and you haven't. You really should be giving, you know, financially. You really should be loving, like going out of your way to help others. You really should be speaking well of them. You know, you can go through each of the Ten Commandments and think of a positive way of what you ought to be doing. And there's ways you've slipped. We've slipped. That's why we're asking for forgiveness. And then on the other hand, you have what you haven't, what you have done and you shouldn't have done. And a lot of the commandments are worded like that. You shall not. And it turns out we did. Murder, you know, I had some angry thoughts. Lust, I've had some evil thoughts, thoughts that are immoral. and you have wording, you have thoughts that have lied, borne false witness. So you have in both what you've done and what you've not done, you've missed the mark, you've sinned, you have transgressed, trespassed. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows that we're not perfect, far more than we do. And our Lord Jesus Christ is now working us through this. I'm going to teach you some things about God. I want you to ask Him to forgive your sins. And this is the point. Jesus is saying, my Father noticed how you've offended Him. He knows even more than you care to remind yourself of, that He is willing to forgive a lot, all of your sins, if you just ask Him. Go to Him and ask, is what Jesus is saying. I have to add another topic. Do you really have to ask God to forgive your sins? I have to add that topic as a pastor because I'm noticing a prevalent tendency among believers to say, no, you don't have to. There's Christians who say you don't have to ask God to forgive your sins. It's an odd thing. Christians who'd say you don't have to ask God to forgive your sins. I've come across it in books with the title something like Hyper Grace. It's a bit of an overreaction to people who just take God for granted, and they're saying, you know, you don't have to ask God to forgive your sins because, and they're emphasizing grace, and it's one side, one aspect of God's grace. The grace that's counted as yours in God's sight. If you have good systematic theology language, you can say justification. That's the Apostle Paul's language for your initial grace that sets you right before God, that God looks down on you through Jesus Christ and sees you with a perfect clean slate. And so some Christians who believe that that is all of Scripture would say, Jesus is only teaching this Lord's Prayer to those who first have to repent, the first time they have to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And then after that, you better stop asking God to forgive your sins because that's really annoying. Brothers and hope and sisters, I hope that you don't go down this track because the grace of God at justifying you, setting you right before God, is the beginning of God's great grace. For God to count you as right, the teaching about God as your judge, that He is righteous, that He is holy, and you are now counted as pure. He declares you right. I'm not disrespecting any bit of that. I hope you hear that every Sunday, that you are counted right before God because of Jesus Christ. You are acquitted. Though you were guilty, because of Jesus Christ, you are pure and holy. Nothing against you. You are pure and spotless and pleasing in God's sight. But brothers and sisters, this false teaching is only playing with one teaching of the Bible in response to concerns that they have. And it's forgetting that Jesus taught His disciples, even those 12 disciples who believed in Him, He was teaching them, when you pray, say this, forgive us our debts. It's exposing the fact that as disciples, there has been debt building up again this past day. As disciples, they need God's forgiveness. And it's not just that God is judge that we have to remember. Think about the Lord's Prayer. The opening words of the Lord's Prayer, who's Jesus Christ reminding us that God is? Besides judge, who is Jesus Christ saying God is? Father. He's your Father. As your Father in heaven, He's seeing you as perfect through the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees you as spotless and pure, Romans 8, God who justifies, who is to condemn. Yet as our Father, think about the analogy of our Father, some Father who comes around, hopefully, to clean up the mess that a child leaves, if you have a servant heart as a father. Think about your children. Think about how a father can love a toddler, unconditionally love them. And it's not changing, you know, love one day and hate the next, but you have to change their stinky diapers. God as our Father doesn't just count you clean, consider you clean, that kind of forgiveness, but He makes us clean. Daily forgiveness. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Go to your Father. Remember, He's your Father. Ask Him to forgive you. The work of God the Father, please remember, He's your Father. Let's go to our second point. The work of God the Son. His work begins with the teaching that God truly does forgive. And Jesus Christ is teaching it. That's His work, right? You remember this? Jesus Christ is teaching and prompting and urging us to pray for God to forgive. But there's more, because God the Son, He's paid the price. And so there's added urgency to this. He's saying, I've paid the price. Your debt hasn't just evaporated. I've paid the price so that you would be forgiven. And Lord's Day 51 of the Heidelberg Catechism is saying this. Because of Christ's blood, this is why we're praying it, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil that constantly clings to us. For the sake of Christ's blood. And Jesus Christ is the last person who will ever forget what it cost for us to be forgiven. Revelation 1 verse 5, our call to worship that I chose. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And the translation I'm more comfortable with is, our Lord Jesus Christ loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom and priests to God. What has He done about our sins? By His blood He has freed us from our sins. And Jesus Christ is pushing this point very, very strongly in our minds that our sins are not just passive. They're not just mistakes. They're not inactive, just lying there quietly. No, it's more like someone or something stalking you. Jesus Christ is doing something that no sacrifice in the Old Testament has ever been able to do. No lamb could do this. Jesus Christ took our sins upon Himself, and He calls it freeing us from our sins. And I chose to read from Psalm 32 because you get a sense of God as a Father making sure these sins hurt. He makes sure the sins trap and pinch and bother. There's that fatherly sense that God disciplines our sins, right? What makes your bones waste away, right? Psalm 32, speaking of the bones. What makes you groan all day long? What makes your strength dry up as in the heat of summer, the drought of summer? It's your sin, it's your debt, your transgressions. And God's hand is heavy upon this believer. Why? So that he'd repent. You hear behind it is God's favor, that He is inclined to forgive those who humble themselves. And God makes sure that sin is nasty and deadly. What's the work of Jesus Christ then? He's freeing us from our sins. And He has freed us from our sins by His blood. Thinking of a few verses in the Bible, Hebrews 12 will speak about our sins which so easily entangle. What is Christ doing? What has He done? Christ has freed us from the sins which so easily entangle. This is about Him releasing us from the controlling power and dominion that every time sin says salute, we salute. 1 Peter 2, it calls the sin a sin which wages war against our souls. What is Christ Jesus doing? He's freeing us from the sin that wages war against our souls. And Hebrews 3 calls it the sin which hardens by deceitfulness. So again, by His blood, Jesus Christ has freed us from the sin that hardens by deceitfulness. You need to hear the urgency of Jesus Christ about this. He's saying, ask God to forgive your sins because I've released you from that. Not only are you counted as being freed, but you are being freed. I want you to listen to your new master. I'm your Lord, Jesus is saying. The work of Jesus Christ is He's separating us from our sin, putting some distance between us and our sin, saying, you don't have to listen to its controlling power. By my blood and by my cross, I've taken your sins upon myself, taken them away from you. You are alive in Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that our sins would be His sins. Our Lord died on the cross because God punished Him according to our sins. Christ got what we deserved. Let me read that Lord's Day 51. It summarizes the Scriptures really well. Why do we pray, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors? Because of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, poor sinners that we are, any of the transgressions we do or the evil which still clings to us. The what still clings to you? The evil. You can say this honestly. Lord, you see my sins sticking to me. You can smell it all over me. But Lord, please don't count it as my sin. Remember, my Lord Jesus Christ, He shed His blood for me. The work of Christ, remember Him. That's our second point. Jesus speaking to you and urging you, I've paid it. Ask the Father to forgive your sins. I want to go to the third point because we got to see the work of the Holy Spirit as well. Everyone who gets this gospel, that you're forgiven by God undeservedly, begins to forgive others. This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. We begin to forgive those who trespass against us, who go outside their bounds with respect to us, who sin against us, who owe us with debts. That's why we have this next part of the Lord's Prayer, probably the most difficult part, your previous pastor would have said. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Not because we've forgiven our debtors, we've heard about the grace of God in Jesus Christ. But as we have forgiven others in a similar way, the same kind. Jesus, He's insisting on this more often, but I think especially of Matthew 18, there's a parable. Like Matthew 18 is quite a big chapter, but if you think of that parable in Matthew 18 about a man who owes talents, which, let's convert the currency for a minute. Millions of dollars. A man begs and pleads because there's no way he can pay back $1 million. But that same man who was forgiven the next day, he won't even forgive a few $100. And you remember what Jesus said in that parable, how that guy will pay dearly. He will suffer. It does not end well for that man. The point is, if God's grace means anything to you, if the fact that Jesus Christ, that He died for you to forgive your sins, if that means anything, you will begin to forgive others. But I want to emphasize the fact, as we go to this third part and the work of the Holy Spirit, that the work of the Holy Spirit is a process. Forgiving is a process. It takes time. And we make a beginning of it. And sometimes we don't. And that's what we're being warned about. If you have not, if you are not making a beginning of this process of forgiving, don't expect God to forgive you. On the one hand, there are small things that you shouldn't bother forgiving. Small things. I refer to Proverbs 19. It says, good sense makes one slow to anger. It's his glory to overlook an offense. So what can you do with small things? Somebody cheeses you off, and you're like, I think I'll overlook that. I'll dismiss it. I'll shrug it off. That's especially important for the small things. You don't have to see it as a pattern that it's going to pile up and this guy is going to be total write-off. You can look at small things and shrug it off. But brothers and sisters, the point here when Jesus says, forgive as you have, or God, ask God to forgive your sins as you have forgiven others, there should be some awareness. You should see this, that you are beginning to forgive by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And it's a process so that you haven't got it figured out. You haven't completed forgiveness ultimately the way God does, but you're beginning and you're learning. You realize that it's a promise. Forgiveness is really a promise to say, I don't want to be hurt again. I'm not going to forget this, maybe, but I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm not going to bring it up every time. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying forgiveness is trusting somebody. Common sense and wisdom says forgiveness begins long before you trust somebody that they wouldn't do it again. They wouldn't hurt you again or hurt others. It's a promise. Forgiveness is a promise that begins with a start of wanting to maybe have what's best for the sinner. This is God's work, the Holy Spirit's work, that you would want to begin to start to think about forgiving them. Okay? Especially for those things that you just can't overlook, you can't put aside, the genuine kind of hurt that's gone deep. It's a promise to want what's good for an offender. It's a promise then that's going to play out a bit, that you're not going to bring it up in every conversation what so-and-so did to you or to someone else. Forgiveness is a promise to quiet down the sins of that person and to not make it the end of the world. Someone who forgives is probably not someone who will ever forget. That's not what I'm saying. You're not going to be able to forget something significant. If you could forget, it's probably not a big deal. Maybe you should just overlook it. But the point is, to forgive is a process. Can you, when you forgive as God does, He doesn't simply forget our sins. That's not forgiveness. That's more like some form of dementia. Jeremiah 31. God says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. I will remember their sins no more. That's a great Old Testament way of saying, I will not put it before me. That's what it means for God to not remember. He said, I'm going to put it out of my focus. I'll put it somewhere else. I will remember their sins no more. That's hard work. That's the Holy Spirit's work in your life. If you try not remember somebody's sins anymore, you try to shove it out of your focus to speak about other things, to be thankful, to remember Christ's work for you. You know that you're forgiving someone if you push and heave and shove certain angry thoughts out of your mind. You know the work of the Holy Spirit if it takes commitment. So think of God's love in Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. That's commitment. That's forgiveness that God is showing us. It's a process. Our sins never slip from His mind. How has God taken our sins done in the west? He's put them in the east where Christ died on the cross. He's put them on His dear Son, Jesus Christ, so that He would never remember them anymore as our sins. There is nothing easy about God forgiving us our sins. And Jesus Christ is saying, there's nothing easy about God forgiving us our sins. And the Holy Spirit's saying that. How much effort, brothers and sisters, is it taking for you to remove the debts and the trespasses and sins of other people from out of your sight? Unless you're consciously working at this, pushing the offenses and the annoyances out of your view, God's not going to forgive you. If that's not where you're starting, God won't finish with forgiveness. The Holy Spirit is going to prove in your life that you know God's forgiveness. And Jesus Christ is saying, the Holy Spirit's going to prove it in your life that Father in heaven does forgive your sins. The Holy Spirit, this is His work, is to take what's invisible, what that paralytic, remember he was lowered from the ceiling and Jesus Christ says to him, son, your sins are forgiven you. That's invisible. So what does Jesus do next? I'm going to prove that something invisible has happened. That something God alone has done has actually happened. And he says, which is more difficult? Anybody can say these words, your sins are forgiven. So he says, get up, take up your mat, take up your bed and walk. And this is what the Holy Spirit's doing. This is His work. He's getting you to forgive people around you to prove that God's invisible work is happening and has happened in your life. So how does the Catechism summarize that? The church has used these words to say it. Forgive us just as we are fully determined. Do you hear anything accidentally happening? No, it's forgive us just as we are fully determined as evidence of your grace in us wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors. Why is Jesus Christ teaching us to pray for God to forgive us? He wants us to know the triune God. He wants us to know God your Father is not a grouch, not stingy. He is gracious and loving. He sent His Son. He's not just a judge, He's Father. Secondly, Jesus Christ is showing us Himself. He's pointing to Himself and He's saying, I paid it. It was no small price. I paid it. Ask your Father to forgive. And thirdly, Jesus Christ wants us to know the Holy Spirit is freeing us from sins. Proving it in our lives that God has forgiven us our sins, that God has freed us from our sins. Proving it in our lives that we're going to look without anger to our brothers and sisters, to our neighbors. That forgiveness is God's grace. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for showing us Jesus Christ, who's showing us You. We get to see Your face. Lord, we thank You for Your Spirit, who somewhat is in the background, invisibly urging us to see Your grace, to know You, and to know Jesus Christ. Lord, we come and we ask You that You would bless us this week. You know, some of these words are difficult. We've used words like sin and trespasses. And Lord, you know our hearts, that things are not all good and clean and pure. As we like other people to think of us as kind and good, Lord, you know the truth. We thank you for refreshing us again this day with your word, showing us you as a gracious Father, gracious Son, and gracious Spirit. We call on you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now sing our song of response. It's number 213. We join with the church of all ages and all places, even places like Denver, Colorado. We join with that church that Christ is gathering that is spectacular in his eyes, but small, sometimes insignificant in our own. And we have one faith that God has worked by his Son and through his Spirit. Let's now sing our Apostles' Creed, and it's number 560.
Thank you.
Let's call upon the Lord in prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom as a father who disciplines and guides us, who wants what's good for us and empowers us through your Spirit, through the blessing of Jesus Christ, your Son, so that we would be made new. And especially on a day like this, you set aside one out of seven so that you would be glorified, so that we would be refreshed. Lord, we thank you that even from the beginning, from creation, on that last day of creation, you rested and you set the example for us to be refreshed. Even before there was sin, you wanted us to be refreshed and have our strength in you. Lord, now that with Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is restoring us on this day so that we would again be refreshed in you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Give us everything we need. Help us to adjust our lives so that we would be filled with your Spirit, so that we would be made new and strong, even for such difficult things as to forgive those who owe us, who have hurt us, who continually step on us. Gracious Father, you've given us hope. You've given us life in Jesus Christ. As we look ahead, we pray that you would bless us in this week and whatever we're doing, whether it's a more relaxed time of vacation or, Lord, if we're still at work. We pray that you would bless us, be also with our close network, whether it's family or friends. Help us to be a blessing to people around us. Fill us with refreshment and strength today so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be good for others. Help us to push back the curse. Help us to grow strong in you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.